You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. Tiger basketball on the floor today against Vanderbilt. Tiger baseball on the diamond today against Nicholls. And Ed Ogeron updates his team's offseason. We'll get to all of that over the next 20 minutes or so. Glad you're here. Let's start on the hardwood. Will Wade met with the media previewing LSU's game against Vanderbilt tonight, Tuesday night at the Maravich Center. Vanderbilt comes in 7-13, a 3-11 overall in conference play. They are dead last in the SEC. A&M is 2-6, but again, they've only played 8 games in the league. But Vanderbilt comes in a little bit of a strange spot. They are the worst team in the conference. There's no denying that. They had lost 3 consecutive and 5 of 6 until Saturday. Saturday, Vanderbilt went out and beat Ole Miss in Nashville. But how they did it was even more impressive. Vanderbilt was missing their top 2 leading scorers in Scottie Pippen Jr. and Dylan Disu, who combine for 35.5 points per game. In that game on Saturday, Vanderbilt's bench outscored Ole Miss 39-4 to avoid losing another SEC game. This should be somewhat terrifying for LSU, or at least jarring, considering a year ago these two teams played and Vanderbilt snapped its SEC record consecutive game losing streak by blasting LSU in Memorial Gym. And he was asked if he had to remind his team about what happened a year ago in Nashville. Give a listen.
What do we need to warn them about? We've lost 2 in a row. I mean, what's there to warn them about? We've lost 2 in a row. We got to win. I don't know what more warning we need than what happened to Georgia and what happened in the second half at Arkansas. But we've got to play better. We got to get back to playing how we were a couple games ago.
You know, if you remember on Friday before LSU left for Arkansas, we let you hear some of Will Wade, and he was talking about, you know, the need to make sure things were made fun for his team. And there's a, you know, this is coming off a Georgia loss now and going on the road to Arkansas. And he was very quick to point out, you know, lessons he learned at Clemson under Oliver Purnell and other coaches where, you know, you got to know when to push and when to pull back and when to keep things fun to keep guys engaged. And clearly, he was trying to make sure his team was light and prepared for that Arkansas game, but it's evident now he's got to push. He's got to remind this team that if you want to play in the NCAA tournament this year, you can't lose this game to Vanderbilt. LSU's still squarely in. We went through that yesterday. They're 31 in the net ranking. They've only got 1 bad loss. Yeah, they're void of quality wins, but this is the type of game when you've lost 2 in a row and one of them being a bad loss. If now you go and lose a home game to the worst team in your conference that could well be shorthanded again, that is the type of loss that could throw you onto the bubble. And now you're playing the game at Missouri and in the SEC tournament to solidify your spot in the big dance. So Will Wade, it's pretty clear, feels like he's pushing the gas pedal down to the floor right now with his team to make sure they understand the urgency of this game tonight against Vanderbilt. So that was when Wade met with the media on Monday night. He had his coach's show, and he previewed the Commodores.
You know, Vandy's been playing really, really well. They had a huge win over Ole Miss on Saturday. They've got 6 guys that shoot 36% or better from 3. Be a major issue for us guarding the 3-point line. Maxwell Evans is playing really well. He killed us last year. We expect Pippen will be back based on what we've seen. He has the highest usage rate in our league by far. He has one of the top 5 highest usage rates in the country. And so, you know, I think Coach Stackhouse has done a phenomenal job with them. They've been really close in a lot of games. They run terrific offensive stuff. They have as good a weak side movements and screening and cutting and in screens as any team in our league. And so I think they've really improved this year like they did throughout the course of the year last year. And it's going to be an absolute battle tomorrow.
And one more from Wade, clearly speaking to his team here, where he says, look, Vanderbilt may be 7-13 overall and 3-11, but that ain't the whole story.
This is a good team now. They're a totally different team than they were. This is a very good team. I know what their record says, but they are a good team. If you're a coach and you can't pop into film and see how good they are and see what sort of progress they've made, I mean, they're a good team. If they replayed some of the SEC games from earlier this year with their full roster, like they'd have a lot better league record based on how they're playing right now. So I mean, this is a challenging game for us.
Will Wade clearly speaking to his team there, but if you give up 51.5 against Arkansas and the threat of potentially losing your grip on an NCAA tournament spot isn't enough to get guys like Watford and Days and Smart, your veteran players, to get them focused to go play a dominant brand of basketball tonight to be able to clinch an NCAA tournament berth, then I don't know what Will Wade could say if these guys can't self-motivate for tonight. LSU and Vanderbilt from the PMAC. Game starts at 7:30. It'll be on the SEC Network. Here's hoping the Tigers do what they need to do and, for all intents and purposes, punch their ticket to the big dance. The baseball Tigers, meanwhile, will be on the diamond at 6:30 against Nichols. We'll preview that game coming up. Let me remind you about Rock Auto and rockauto.com, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. You know, a lot of people, do-it-yourselfers, they like to maintain or repair their own vehicles. A lot of times, that can save you money. Would you rather spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Or go to rockauto.com. And again, the chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com, RockAuto.com. At checkout, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know which we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, with players fleeing the Houston Texans, what NFL team will be the worst to play for in 2021? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. Today, LSU baseball host Nichols, 6:30 first pitch out at Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field. Game is available on ESPN.com, the Watch ESPN app. LSU leads the all-time series with Nichols 52-24 and just played on Sunday with the Tigers pounding the Colonels 14-0. Landon Marceau is absolutely magnificent. Tigers blasted four homers in that game. LSU has won 29 of the last 32 against Nichols, but Nichols did win last year in Thibodeau 4-2 and then won 6-3 back in 2015 and 3-1 in 2009. So some of LSU's best teams were actually bested by the Nichols Colonels, but overall a series that LSU has dominated throughout the years. Paul Maneri announced that freshman Javen Coleman is going to get the start. We saw Coleman in his only outing this season, really magnificent in relief against Louisiana Tech in the opening series on that Monday. Coleman came out of the bullpen after A.J. Labus had a rough start and went 3 2/3, seven strikeouts to one walk. He earned the win and quite honestly was magnificent. So the other thing that's exciting about Coleman is that he's a lefty, and one of the knocks has been obviously about LSU not having left-handed pitching the past few years, and we saw what having a lefty in your rotation could mean for LSU with Jared Poche having the type of career he did, winning more games than any starting pitcher in LSU baseball history. So I'm not saying Javen Coleman's going to be that, but when you can have a change of pace guy from guys like Hill and, you know, who's going to become 97 from the right side, and Marceau and Labus who fill up the strike zone, then all of a sudden you have a big, tall lefty who provides a different arm angle and something different for hitters to look at. Coleman could be a guy, while he and Garrett Edwards are going to shape up likely to be your midweek starters, that's not their long ambition here. The hope is when you get into the postseason and deep into conference play, when you need guys to get you valuable outs, these are the guys that you count on. And so Coleman aced his first test in relief the first weekend. Now let's see how he does in a starter's routine, getting the ball, knowing he's going to be on the bump from jump. So A little bit about Nichols. Colonels are 2-4 this year. Back-to-back losses to LSU and Youngstown State on Saturday, Sunday, this weekend. So they beat Youngstown last Friday in Thibodeau. As we saw, being blanked by LSU, Nichols is struggling to swing the bat. They are hitting 215 as a team with three homers. When you look at the counter, that LSU's got 15 homers on the season in seven games. So we'll see, especially on what is today, rainy, cold day in Baton Rouge, if the conditions mean maybe there's not as much offense in this ball game. Nichols will counter with a sophomore righty, Chase Gearing. He's got a 4.35 ERA on the season. He's thrown 10 innings already in this young season. Six strikeouts and four walks. Here's hoping the LSU bats can get going again. Speaking of the bats, Eddie Smith met with me, the new hitting coach, and I shared with you yesterday my feeling on the bats and how the reason you're seeing this power surge is just you got a much bigger, physically bigger lineup than we've typically seen with pulmonary squads. But Eddie Smith did talk a little bit about the offense, including what is working better so far this year.
When it comes to the philosophy, that hasn't changed. I think one thing that specifically this last week, we've just done a really good job of ignoring the noise and staying so focused on attacking, on having a mindset of going to get it, not wanting the game to come to us, but we got to go get it. And then I think the second piece of that answer, it comes down to guys that are in our lineup. They just look a little bit different. I think you can credit Nolan Kane a lot with that. If you understand, the college recruiting cycle with, the Power Five schools, the top of the top schools, players start committing in their freshman year, and the best of the best players are committing as freshmen. And if you look at the timeline of that, I think Nolan Kane and this freshman class, both on the mound and at the plate, it's really kind of the first class where he really got to go and recruit the freshmen in high school, which is when the best of the best are playing. And you're just seeing guys in that class that their bodies just work a little different.
You heard Eddie Smith there mention attacking several times. Here's a bit more on the mindset being aggressive in the box.
I think we simplified some things. We've just taken on maybe more of what I like to call an animal instinct. You're on the attack. When you see, a great white shark on the Discovery Channel going to get its dinner, it's not sitting there and thinking about, well, hey, is that seal going to be swimming right or left? It's just going to get the seal. It's staying on the attack. And, that's an image and a graphic that we like to use with our players all the time. Hey, when the tiger's in the jungle hunting, it's not calculating anything. It's going for the attack. And, I think that's been the gist of things, is just really trying to create an attacking mindset, impose our will, and, try to hit the ball as hard as you possibly can.
One thing Pulmonary did mention when he met with the media is that Cade Doty, and I alluded to this yesterday on the podcast, Cade Doty in that celebration after his walk-off homer dislocated his shoulder during the celebration. As I'm told, that's an injury Cade had before, so it was a re-aggravation of that injury. It is unlikely that we see Cade Doty this week, obviously, and it could be longer than that till he's really ready to go again. So, the lineup obviously hasn't been posted yet, but I think this is going to be an opportunity where you see Will Safford get a start at second base. He's a guy who hit all fall. He hit in the preseason, and this is a guy that I think they really believe is going to be a key contributor in this lineup. Maybe a guy at the bottom of the lineup that can help turn the lineup over for the top of your order with a guy on base. So see if maybe Will Safford gets a start at second base with Cade Doty out, and Jordan Thompson continuing to man third. And don't be surprised if Thompson does not hit. He's hitting 167 right now. When Cade Doty comes back, if Safford is hitting, don't be surprised if they give Doty a look at third and keep Safford at second base. Just something to file away as we move through the next couple of weeks. Tonight, LSU and Nichols, 6:30 first pitch out at Alec Box Stadium. All right, it is the Locked On LSU podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. I've told you BetOnline is the online sports book that I've used for more than a decade. It is safe, secure, easy, and fun. If you want to bet college basketball, if you want to bet NBA, NHL, props bets, future bets, it's all there, and it's easy, safe, and reliable. It's free to sign up, BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag, and you get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. All you got to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON. So Use the promo code LOCKEDON. They'll give you a 50% welcome bonus for you to play with for free at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. There's only one place to get all the info you need on the SEC 5 days a week, and that's Locked On SEC. Host Chris Gordy of Sports 790 delivers his unique brand of Southeastern Conference analysis with help of local expert guests from around the SEC network of Locked On podcasts. Subscribe to Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts. SEC football be here before you know it, and that includes, of course, LSU. It is Tuesday, which means Ed Ogeron made his weekly visit to Off the Bench with T-Bob Hebert and Jacob Hester, and they're going through their offseason workouts, and quite honestly, there just wasn't a lot of meat on the bone today, but there's two things in particular that Ed Ogeron said that I wanted you to hear, that I wanted to elaborate on. Remember I told you all throughout the offseason that last summer was really tough around the LSU football program. There was the player-led march. There was a great disconnect between the players and the coaching staff, even among the coaching staff. It was very evident, and it spilled out into the season. That is not even debatable. Well, in the interview Tuesday, guys were asking about leadership on the team, and Ed Ogeron referenced something that happened last week, which is the leadership council and some coaches went out to dinner. And it was about 20 of them. You're going to hear Ed Ogeron say all this, but I really want you to pay attention very closely to what he says about the differences that they're trying to instill in this team as opposed to a year ago. And keep in mind the context that I gave you, which is there was a massive disconnect a year ago from players to coaches.
We took the leadership committee out, went out to a nice restaurant in town. They were all dressed up, looked good. We had a big table. There was about 20 of us. A couple coaches came. And, man, we sat down and we ate. Now, I believe it ate because I paid the bill. I know they ate well. But, you know, it was just nice to go to a relaxed setting, let them talk, listen to them, get closer to them this year at the beginning of the year in the spring instead of waiting to the season, you know, develop leadership throughout the spring. But I think more or less is first, the first thing for me to do is for our coaches and for me to get closer to our team and invest in our team so nothing can ever come in between us. I think that's the number one thing that we're going to get accomplished right now.
Nothing will ever come between us. That's the number one thing we need to get accomplished right now. We and I need to be closer to our players and our team. Ed Ogeron is telling you the story. That is what happened last summer. There was, amid all the social unrest, there was a massive chasm between the coaching staff and the roster. It ultimately culminated with that march from the players to the president's office, and that lingered throughout the offseason and through the season at LSU. And it manifested on the field as we saw. Now, there's another part. I mentioned there was two things that Ogeron said. The other thing that we've talked about a good bit is what the final two wins of the season did for LSU. Beating Florida and beating Ole Miss. Had LSU lost those two games, and remember, they were an underdog at Florida, and had United the shoe toss and LSU loses that game, it's likely that you have more opt-outs, and I'm not guessing here, it's likely you had more opt-outs and you had more disconnect and trending in a different direction than what Ole Miss was. And if you finish that season 3-7, the guys that you got to stay probably don't stay. They probably go to the NFL or transfer because nobody was going to want to be a part of the sinking ship. Keeping in mind what I just shared with you, the offseason was so tumultuous, it manifests during the season with embarrassing losses and an awful defense, and then you're going into this game in December against Florida, and then you got Ole Miss, and if you had lost those two games, 3-7, and the sell for your recruiting class, the sell for your veterans to come back is much tougher. But then you win those two games, and everything changed. And Ed Ogeron essentially said that today.
The whole atmosphere around here has changed. The atmosphere in the locker room, the atmosphere upstairs, the feeling of confidence. The Tigers are back. Hey, look what these young guys have done. There's a lot of young guys that have grown up. You can see the way they're walking around. Tommy Moffitt says the weight room has been phenomenal. The fourth quarter is going to be phenomenal. Yesterday, there was an energy in the indoor practice facility that everybody noticed, even Sam Natus, and man, these guys love football. So there's just a different attitude among our football team, and those two wins and our recruiting class and the guys coming back and the new coaching staff, I think it's put all that together.
We may look back with the benefit of hindsight. May, if this season goes like I think many of us hope and think it could, we may look back with the benefit of hindsight at the shoe toss at Florida as the fulcrum moment, as the moment where this program shifted, because had Florida gotten off the field, gotten the football, gone down the field and won that game, like it looked for all intents and purposes like they were going to, because LSU was done, they were gassed defensively, perhaps you have an offseason where your recruiting class doesn't stay together, your veterans either leave for the NFL, some of your young players transfer, and LSU is really in a tough spot going to this year. Instead, you win those two games, and everything Ed Ogeron said there, all the good vibes came back. You had something now to sell to your upperclassmen, like, hey, we are on our way back. Let's go get it back to where it needs to be after this weird COVID year. You can go sell to your recruits, look, the Tigers are here, and we will play you early, and we're ready to win again. And a lot of people have bought into that message. Going to be a very interesting spring when they get started, even more interesting fall. You know, we'll be here talking about it every day on the Locked On LSU podcast. Please subscribe if you haven't done so yet, however you get your podcast. Tomorrow, we're back recapping LSU Vandy and Hoops and LSU baseball against Nichols. Be sure to join us. Locked On LSU, your team every day.